97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present The Art of Potential, an illuminating talk show dedicated to getting your community educated, hired, and inspired. The Art of Potential combines real-world knowledge and expertise aimed at helping our community reach their full potential. Now, The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Hi, this is Kristen Heemstra. Welcome to The Art of Potential show. We have a very interesting show for you today. We are talking with Fawzia Burke. And Fawzia, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Kristen. I'm so thrilled to be with you.
Well, we are so glad to have you here. And Fawzia, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do at FSB Associates?
Sure. So FSB is my initials, and so the company is something I started 18 years ago. And what we specialize in internet publicity for books. We do digital branding for authors. We do some website development. I do some consulting. And then I end up speaking about all of this stuff to conferences and such.
And you also do a blog for Huffington Post.
That is true. I do that.
Yep.
In my spare time, right. I also blog for the Huffington Post.
You know, all that spare time, you're, you know, just wasting away. All right. So a couple things I want to ask you. This show to me is very interesting because I really want to hear about how you started your own business and became an entrepreneur. I think there are a lot of people who are interested in that. And then the other thing I will also want to talk about, we have a lot of authors in the area. And so I want to talk about, in addition to your entrepreneurship, how to go about publicizing and becoming an author in the community right now, because I know things have changed dramatically in the publishing industry.
They have. Actually, they've changed in some ways for the better and in some ways in just, you know, it's just an evolving industry at this time, but it's very exciting.
All right, so let's start with you becoming an entrepreneur. How did that happen?
Right. Well, certainly it wasn't planned. It wasn't something I had thought of doing. But the internet has changed many things in the world, and one of them was my career trajectory. I used to work at John Wiley and Henry Holt, and both of them are New York City publishers. And honestly, I saw the web for the first time, and it was the word Paris. Someone showed it to me and said, just click on Paris. And I clicked on it, and I went to a site that was in French, and I just thought that was the most magical moment of my life. It was so exciting, and I just, you know, it almost changed the way I viewed things, because suddenly so many things became possible, and I was just so excited by the internet, and at that time, there were a lot of forums, and so I was looking at what forums did and what people were talking about, and it seemed like people seemed to gravitate and gather by their interest categories. So, you know, whatever they were interested in, they would create a little forum for it and be discussing it. And I just thought that is such a different way of marketing than the way I had been doing it. You know, we were trying to get everyone. We're trying to get, you know, newspapers and TV shows and radio shows, trying to aim for everyone. But so many books are very specific. So I thought, if you can aim for a specific audience for a specific book, that would change completely the whole paradigm of how we market. And it just seems like, you know, niche marketing for the first time seemed a real possibility.
You're right.
And I honestly, it was just such a shift in my head that it was one of those genie was out of the bottle and couldn't go back. And I saw everything from that light. Like, why aren't we doing more niche things? You know, why aren't we talking to people directly? And those kinds of, that kind of thinking, honestly, was maybe a little bit ahead because at that time people didn't have email, so they didn't know what I was talking about.
No, right, because when the internet first bloomed, it really did. You didn't have email. It was a very different world.
Yeah, and I felt like I was in two different time zones. You know, the time zone that my companies were in, which was normal, and then this internet thing, which seemed to be moving much faster.
Yes.
So I just felt like there was a pull. I wanted to try something. I wanted to explore this. There was really no room in my current job to just experiment. And I loved my job. Honestly, Holt was wonderful. I had a great boss. So it was not an easy decision, but I just felt this pull to try something new. And I figured, you know, if there's something here, then it'll be valuable to learn. And if it's not, then I'll just have to go find another job.
So well, that's quite an aggressive spirit to have.
Yeah, I guess so. It was, it was at that time, it seemed like I was just so mesmerized by the internet. It felt like this, that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So I resigned.
And what did they say when you resigned?
Actually, that's another part of the greatest story because it helped me so much. My boss, you know, saw my excitement. I realized that the current job that I was in really didn't have room for experimentation. I had a big job with a lot of responsibility as a marketing director. So he hired me literally as a consultant. They became my first client.
Oh, wow.
And he let me design a program that he thought, you know, we needed to explore. I mean, it was really, he was really ahead of his time too, because it was all experimentation at the time. And so I came up with a program that I thought would sort of interest them and was based on, you know, sort of internet related, but I would have to do a lot of legwork and learning and things like that. So I decided to give them that, and they literally, they hired me. They became my first client.
How fantastic.
It was really cool. And I have to tell you the name of the company, you know, he said, well, okay, this sounds like a good plan. Now I need, do you have a company name or something? I said, well, I didn't know I was starting a business. Okay. So I went to my best friend's office and I said, so, like, I need a company name. And we were sitting and talking and she just said, you know, you've got good initials. You should just use your initials. And because I didn't know what the company would be, whether I would have it for a long time.
Right.
Or, you know, I had no idea. So she thought FSC were good initials. And she said, someday, I still remember, she said, someday people would pick up and say, like, IBM, FSC. That hasn't quite happened, but it was really great. And she was a designer, so she helped me do the logo. And that's really how my company got started. And it's now been 18 years. So it's just a great, fun story because it was, you know, I was an accidental entrepreneur.
You were accidental, but yet you definitely, true to the entrepreneurial spirit, you saw something which other people didn't see. Like, you had your aha moment. This internet thing is going to be amazing.
Yeah, I definitely had the aha moment, but I had no idea what it takes to run a business, what it means to have a business. None of that had, you know, had occurred to me.
No,
I was just following the idea.
Well, let's talk about that part a moment, because I do think that is one thing about entrepreneurship. You get out there, you think, oh my gosh, this is brilliant. You know, I've discovered the internet or whatever it is. This is great. And then to your point, then you have the other side that happens of, whoa, this is what it means to run a business.
Yeah. Well, what I tell my friends is that, you know, whatever the idea is that you are very passionate about, and this is true for everyone, I so think if you have an idea you want to explore, you should totally do it. I'm all for that.
Yep.
But the important thing to remember is that the thing you love to do is probably something you'll do only one third of the time. You know, the other two thirds, you have to run the business and find clients, find business, do marketing. And a lot of my friends, especially the ones who are autistic, really don't want to do that part.
No,
you know,
that's
they just,
no fun.
They just think they can start a business and just paint all the time or, you know, do whatever the bake all the time. And,
People will flock to them.
Exactly. And that's something that I've learned over time is that, you know, you really need to make sure that you have the skill set or you hire it or you partner with it, but you need that the other two, thirds as well. And that's really an important part to remember. I didn't know that, but I've learned it over time.
No, but I think that's great advice, Fawzia, because you're right. If you, in, you know, when you're starting a business, you may not be able to afford to hire out a lot, but I like how you said, or you partner with it, or somehow you find a way to make that piece of your business work. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more about being an entrepreneur, but we're also going to learn about, you know, how publishing has changed and some of the things that you're involved in right now, because you've got some amazing, amazing projects. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show. Please be sure to take a moment and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is the Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Fawzia Burke. And Fawzia, you tell me how you would describe your title, because you have many titles.
I do. You know what? Because I started the company, goes back to that first story. My friend just said, well, it's just you. You could just be the president. I was like, okay.
Yes, so you're president. You're president.
What I do is different. I do, I work on publicizing books on the web, which is what I sort of started the company for. I do a lot of branding with authors. I'm very involved in website development and consulting on bigger projects on, so there's a lot of things I do, but my title itself is president because I was the first one on the scene.
Well, I like that. And it's easier to, pull out the title president at a cocktail party rather than, listing individually all of the things that you do.
That is true. I was at a conference one time and there were all these, it's a big meeting, big company with lots of VPs in the room. And I was feeling a little intimidated, and the person sitting next to me said, don't feel intimidated. You're the only president in the room.
He said, that's right. I am now, aren't I?
And that's
Hello.
What I thought. I was like, it may be a company of one, but I am a president.
I am a president. Watch out. I'm in the house, people. No, I love that. All right. So let's talk a little bit about this publishing industry. So you started your own company, and your husband, did he come on board right away or did he stay with his job?
He stayed with his job for about a year and a half, and okay. He was very jealous. He used to tell our friends that I get to, he said, she gets to surf on the web all day. That's what she does. So, and then within a year and a half, I honestly had more work than I could do on my own. And
oh, wow.
He just decided to take a huge leap of faith and, he quit his job too. And
wow.
Our families thought we were nuts. And, he came on board when we needed to develop a website for Sue Grafton, who is the number one New York Times bestselling author. And most small companies don't get to launch their web development career with Sue Grafton.
No. And you better be good, too, if Sue Grafton's your first client, because you don't have a lot of room for error.
No. And she's still with us all these years later, and we're delighted that she was our first website client. So that's really, how it was a year and a half after I started that he joined.
Well, and that's a great way to do it, because at that point, when you have more clients and you know what to do with, you have found your niche market. You know that you have found a viable business.
Or at least, people were interested in what we were doing and interested in the results that we were creating. So
apparently.
That was all good. I mean, it's all been an experimentation, honestly, because it's the web. It always changes. It always evolves.
Yes.
But it definitely was a good sign.
Okay, so let's talk about your first client then. There you are with Sue Grafton. Do you remember which of her books you were launching at the time?
Yes, it was, I think it was, oh my God, look at you. You've got me.
Ah, woo! I knew. Trick questions.
I know. That was
she's written so many.
18 years ago.
She has written so many. So let's talk about how this works, though. So Sue Grafton goes, who is her, do you happen to know her publisher off the top of your head?
Yes, at that time it was Holt, the company that I had resigned with. It's now Penguin.
Okay, so she's with Holt, and Holt looks at you and says, hey, now they have their own marketing person, which was you, but then was somebody else because, you left to do your own business. So then does the marketing director call someone like you and say, hey, we really need your help? How does that all work?
Yeah, at that time it was literally, there had been only one other author website. It was for Danielle Steele, believe
it or
not.
That makes sense. funny, two women authors.
And then it was us, doing one for Sue Grafton. So I was it's another cool story. I was in the meeting with Holt and, I wanted to do the publicity because that's what I knew and that's what I was excited about. So I was trying to give them new ideas about how we could promote her novel, her new novel on the web. And I said, what's really fun is authors are starting to do websites. And so that would be so cool to do. And the publisher, Bruno Quinson at the time, looked at me and said, all right, go do it. and the meeting continued, and I thought in my head, no, not me. I don't know how to do that. Someone else, someone really smart and technical and stuff. I don't know. But I came home and I told my husband, and he thought we could figure it out, and we did. And we did a great job and, you know, got the training we needed and launched the website. But it was funny in that moment, sitting there going, well, I don't know how to do that. But, you know, on the web, you learn.
Right.
That's the best part.
Well, and that's part of being an entrepreneur, too.
Yeah. Like, think on your feet.
Right. Of course, we would love to do that. I know HTML. Oh, all the time. Yeah, I'll just whip out some HTML. It will be great.
Right, exactly. I'll just learn it in my spare time.
Right. No problem. Couple
no
classes.
Problem.
Got it covered.
So that's sort of how it started. At that time, it was just kind of on the fluke. But since then, the publicity directors, marketing directors, or authors themselves, seeing the need that they have, will either call us and say, you know, what do you think we should do here? And then we sort of talk about all of the options, and we talk about the budget and figure out what's the best use of that, that money. And sometimes it is a website, but sometimes it's, you know, your money is better spent doing publicity. Because then it's more proactive, it's outbound, you're going after the community rather than setting up shop and hoping that people will find you.
Okay, so it's more proactive to do publicity to get people to notice your product,
yes.
And then they in turn respond and look for you on the web. Okay, so if you're to publicize a book, what does that look like?
So because my firm specializes on the online side, it
right.
really looks like publicity, but it's all done online. So
okay.
our editors and we work with bloggers, we work with web editors. So most of our audience and, the editors that we're going after are really online, which is a little different. I've told my sister-in-law
yeah.
one time, you know, she was really impressed. She saw someone on the Today Show, and she said, oh, this is so cool. And I said, well, you know, there's a publicist behind that appearance, that some publicist somewhere called the producer,
yeah.
got the person on the show, now the person's on the show. And it just surprised her that there was all this, like, you know, people don't magically walk onto the Today Show or something.
Right.
So, and that's really what publicists do. You know, they sort of do behind-the-scenes magic to get people exposure. And, so we get the exposure online. So we'll work with Huffington Post or Salon or Slate or CNN.com or Forbes.com and try to get exposure for our clients that way.
And that's actually how I connected with you, because you have just launched a book, correct, for
Is that the August Taracchio interview
yeah.
him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's for
yeah,
August.
The Business Secrets of the Trappist Monk.
Right. And he blogs for Forbes.
Yes.
So when he came, so that's how that whole connection piece was made.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you do things like on Facebook?
What I realized, 6-7 years ago, whenever Facebook and Twitter started to become really important,
mm-hmm.
I paused to try to figure out how to best use those social networks for publicity and marketing. And I came up with a solution that works for us. You know, it may not be right for everyone else, but I felt like, you know, people don't want those networks, people don't really want to be marketed to. I don't want to be marketed to.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing to do there is to really help the authors develop a personality and a persona so they can share valuable information and network with their readers, not the publicity people, but then to actually have features go online on different websites that can be talked about on those social networks. So, yes, we work with Facebook and Twitter, but not overtly. It's definitely a much more of a subtle, integration. I feel like it should be integrated into the publicity and marketing programs, but I don't think people really want to be marketed to all the time. If you go on Facebook and all you do is talk about your book, people are going to stop following you.
Right.
You know, that's not what people want to do. So
they want to talk to you.
The idea is to really develop good relationships on those networks.
Well, and I appreciate that, being an active Facebook user myself. What it sounds to me like you're talking about is you're helping the author create a brand.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes. Okay. And brand is an absolutely fascinating topic. And because it is, we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, I do want to talk about how to brand yourself or how you're out there branding authors.
Absolutely.
So you are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment and like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is The Art of Potential show with Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Fawzia Burke. Fawzia, you are a brander and a publicity person for authors on the internet. So one of my questions to you is, how do you build a brand? If you are an author, you are an author or you want to be an author, how do you build your brand?
Yeah, first, can I just give the depressing news right up front so people understand?
It doesn't sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just going to be up front here.
Yep.
It's not fast. It's not instant. It's not instant coffee by any means. Developing a brand takes a long time. And I have to say, it's a lot of work. It takes between 18 months to 2 years before you start to see the result of all of the hard work.
Wow.
And that, I'm just putting that out there because people think it's some kind of an instant thing. You know, you wake up in the morning and suddenly you can be branded.
Right.
It really does take a lot of work. You're building trust. You're building a relationship with people. All of those things take time. And so it's not an instant fix. The biggest benefit of doing it is not only will you see success in your career, whether you're an author or, you're in any other career. Honestly, people get promotions, they get speaking engagements, all sorts of things from their branding efforts. But I think the thing that I love best about it is that it gives you choices. It allows you to do things that you want to do because there are people who value what you do. And that's really what you're creating with your brand. You're creating value. You're creating value for the people who are willing to follow you and learn from you. And you're creating value for yourself because once you have that community of followers, you have a lot more options about how you share that content. And that's really why it's so valuable and why it's so important to do. But it's not fast. It's not easy.
Well, now that's an ice bucket.
I know. Sorry.
No, but it's true. And creating a brand, even when it's a commercial brand, it takes a while. It takes multiple exposures before you understand what a company's brand is. So an individual brand would clearly be along those same lines.
Yeah, and also, think about friendships. How long does it take for you to develop a really good friendship? It takes a while. And so here you really, that's what branding is. It's really developing friendships with people who start to trust you with the information that you'll give them. So it takes a while.
So trust is the core of what you're saying.
Yeah.
People need to trust you as an author. They need to trust your message. They need to trust what you're doing with your message, all those types of things.
Yeah.
So how do you get your message out there? And it's, kind of create this tribe or create this following or create a bunch of friends out there in cyber world.
Yeah. I mean, there's different elements. I focus on authors, so I'm going to sort of talk about that a little bit. We can circle back to them. What I think you should do is do it in three phases. So phase one is when you're really getting your digital house in order. You need to have a website, needs to be a professional website. You need to have some kind of a blogging profile because that's how people understand what you have to offer. It's sort of like a free, just gives you share your information, share your resources, share your findings with them. So it builds trust that way and you're giving something of value. I think a mailing list is really important. You need to make sure that people who are interested in you have a way of connecting with you and have a way of getting information in their inbox. Then social networking, you have to think about which options work for you. Some of my authors hate Facebook.
Right.
Some hate Twitter. So you have to, LinkedIn is sort of something that everybody can agree on. So it's good to at least have a LinkedIn profile. And then you do have to pick one of the social networks that you feel comfortable with because that's a part of that mix. So that's sort of like getting your digital house in order where you get these platforms up, learn how to run them because not everybody knows them right off the bat, and then start using them for a while. And I think if you can do that for 6 months, that really should be phase one, where you're not doing anything but just experimenting, trying to figure out what kind of blogs work, what people want to read from you, what kind of tweets get retweeted, really kind of in a learning phase about what your knowledge is and what people are resonating with. Because believe it or not, it's not always the same.
You would think it would be.
Yeah, you would think it would be. But sometimes, when we're thinking, people are interested in one particular topic from us. And so, for example, for myself, let's say, I started blogging. I work with publishers. I work with the publishing industry mostly. I came out of the publishing industry. That's where all my friends are. So my blogs tend to be for them.
Right.
But what I realized over time is the people who actually read my blogs tend to be authors, now self-published authors. So I had to sort of change the types of blogs I was writing because of the audience that was responding to it. You know, I still have all my friends in publishing. I still work with publishers. But for my blogs, it turned out to be a different reader than I had expected.
And you found that out because of the comments they left and the...
And the traffic, you know, how many people were coming to each blog, which ones were popular, which ones were being read. I mean, I think the most amazing thing that the internet now allows us to do is that it gives us so much data that we can base decisions on, you know, actual data instead of just sort of our gut feeling. And that's really valuable. I had one author tell me, "Oh, I've been doing all this stuff that you're telling me, and but I don't know if it's not, why is it not working?" And I said, "Well, what's working? What, tell me what working means. Is it working? You know, what does that mean to you?" And he was like, "I don't know. Am I supposed to know that?" I said, "Yes, you can actually know that. You can actually know how much traffic your website is getting and, you know, where the traffic is coming from and what keywords are bringing people to your website, and then write the blog for the people who are coming to your website." So, you know, there's a lot of ways to actually use the data in a very smart way.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And you would get that. I'm thinking Google Analytics and some of those other. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, Google Analytics gives you all of the data for your website. Same thing for your blog. On Facebook, there's Facebook Insights that give you all that information. Mailing list. I use MailChimp and Constant Contact, but those programs give you a tremendous amount of information about who's opening your newsletters, what they're clicking on, what they're not clicking on. So there's just such great information that within 6 months, you should have a pretty good picture about what people want from you.
I love that. Okay, so that's phase one. And that's working one. Hard. I mean,
that's working hard.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's 6 months of constant work. That's not like, let me take a break and for a week or two.
You have to be committed to it.
Yeah.
You have to want to do it. A lot of times what I find is that once people learn the tools and they start getting the response back, they start enjoying it. You know, they start to get it. They enjoy that feedback and they love getting their audience's responses to things. And so I find that a lot of people love it. I'm going to give you a metaphor that I tell authors that when you have a newborn, for those people listening to you who have had newborns, you know, the first, let's say, month or 6 weeks, it's just one way. You know, they just feed you and you just have to provide stuff. You have to stay up at night. You've got to feed them, change them. And then there comes that moment where they look up at you and smile.
Yes, and recognize and you. Changes. And it's not gas. They're like,
they see me. What can I do for you?
Right.
And I honestly, there is that same moment in blogging and branding.
There's interesting metaphor. Okay.
There's a lot of one-wayness till they smile back at you.
Okay.
And once they start responding, then it feels much more like an engagement and a conversation. So it's worth the investment, but you're right. You're working hard. And then the second phase is you have to continue phase one, obviously, do all
of
the things.
Oh, nice. So you don't get to stop and take a break.
Keep going. But add on to it. What you want to do then at that point is take the blogs that you've already written and either contact someone in your industry or contact a popular website. And I make that sound easy because I'm a publicist, but usually people can't just walk up to Huffington Post and say, "Can you start blogging? Can I start blogging for you?" So whether you get a publicist or sometimes it's just your industry newsletter. Sometimes you can find ways to get into places where there's higher traffic. And people would value your information, but you're then taking the same amount of effort writing your blog, but then giving it to someone who has more traffic.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, let's talk about the phase three of this that we're talking about. You are listening to The Art of Potential Show with Kristen Heemstra. Please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
You're listening to The Art of Potential on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back. This is Kristen Heemstra, and I am talking with Fawzia Burke. We are talking, Fawzia is just an expert on how to get your book out and publicized and on the internet, and just amazing. So we've been going through a couple phases of how to do this. So you want to give a quick recap, Fawzia, just to give us one and two in one sentence?
Sure. So the first one is just getting your digital house in order to make sure that you have all of the digital assets up and running, websites and mailing lists and social profiles. And then the second one is trying to blog on high-traffic websites to get more name recognition. So those are the two ways that you want to start before you publish your book.
Love that. Okay, so now we're into phase three.
Yeah, and so of course, because I come from book publishing, my phase three is book publishing. For someone else, it might be a new job. For someone else, it might be, running a business.
Right.
Excuse me. So what I would say is phase three then is, launching your book. And what happens with a lot of people is they publish their book and then think they're going to go through the phase one and phase two. You know, my book is up, I will get my Facebook up and, I'll get my website done and all of that. So I always try to tell people, when possible, think of it the other way around. You know, think of doing all of that almost a year before your book is coming out. And then your book is going to be much more successful and you can take advantage of the publisher's resources to amplify what you've already built. So if you have a brand that you've already built, then all of the resources that the publisher will bring to the table will actually help you do better.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes sense that if you do it in this, in these phases, you're going to be much more successful.
Well, and I love how you've laid it out because I do think, and I haven't been through this process myself, but it does make sense to me that if you've written a book, I can completely understand where someone would jump in and write a book. Not worry about creating any type of community or any type of following, but they have this inspiration, so they go out and write a book. First of all, if that is what somebody has done, what is the likelihood of them being able to approach a publisher and say, hey, I've written this book, will you publish it?
Well, publishing is definitely getting tighter because publishers, there's a lot of competition for attention,
yes.
Obviously. People have a lot of access to free information on the web. All of the blogs that I just told you about probably impact, how books are basically bought. We're not seeing, in certain categories, there's been a lot of decrease in book sales because there's so much free information online that people can get. So it's difficult, and most publishers will not want to have an author that doesn't have that brand to bring to the table. They're looking for authors who are going to actually help sell them the book. So having that brand is not only helpful for selling the book for yourself, but it's also very helpful for getting a publisher. And you do need an agent before you can even get a publisher. So I would say that would be the first step, is to try to find an agent. And once you have an agent who believes in you, has made sure that your manuscript is as good as possible and your idea is really great and that your brand is developed, then they're going to go find you a publisher.
Okay, so it sounds like even before you approach an agent, you're going to want to have some type of platform together, because the way I understand it is an agent's going to look at a proposal, a book proposal, and a proposal, mm-hmm. one of the features of it is going to be what, can you explain what a platform is?
Well, a platform is very similar to what brand is. It's really a way that people know you, whether it's, you speak at conferences or you write for a magazine or you have your own blog or something like that. Any way that you can build, any way that you have built a demand for your knowledge, that's really what it is at the basic level. Do you know people who are willing to pay for your book? That's really what publishers are looking for.
Right. So they want you to bring not only a product, but also people who will buy your product.
Yes, an audience.
Right. What a genius way to do things. Yeah. Sure, we'll help you. Just bring us a product and people who will buy it.
Right. Seems like a good deal.
It does. It really seems like the way to go, which is why I would think self-publishing has become so popular.
Yes, indeed. I think self-publishing has become very popular for, you know, many reasons. First of all, not every book is going to get published by a publisher.
Right.
So if a person has an idea that they really want to write about, then, you know, that's something that they can explore on their own. Sometimes, you know, the book has a very small audience, and so a publisher who wants to have a much more general book, a book that will appeal to a lot of people, may not be as interested in it. But, you know, maybe you think you have enough of an audience that it would warrant doing a book, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes a book can be done because it helps your business. And it may be, you know, financial advice for your particular audience in, you know, I don't know, Miami or something like that. Something very specific to your business. And a regular publisher would just not be interested in something like that. So that gives you an idea of, you know, options for self-publishing. But of course, you know, lots of novelists out there are self-publishing these days because, you know, they don't have a platform and a publisher may not want to take them on. But, you know, in either case, you need that brand, you need that platform. So the work in that phase one and phase two really helps. As I said, it just gives you more choices.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
No, it totally does. And it gives you a foundation to pull from so that when you do approach a publisher or you become a publisher, you have an audience with whom to share your material.
Exactly. And they're excited and enthusiastic and you've built your relationship with them and you've spent the time, you know, 18 months to 2 years, as I said. So by that point, they know you're not going anywhere and you're there for them. It's really kind of a cool thing.
So what are some publishing industry do's and don'ts?
So, you know, the thing is there's two parallel industries right now. There's the traditional book publishing industry and then there's the self-publishing industry. So I'm going to give you quick tips for both of them.
Perfect.
For people who have their books published by a publisher, the most important thing is to plan ahead. To really look at, you know, what is being done. It's okay to ask publishers what their plans are for marketing and publicity and to think about whether you want to add on to that, you know, whether you want your own people, your own publicists to come in and help out. Most publishers are more than happy to work with any outside publisher, publicist, but all of that takes time. So I think one of the problems that authors have is they leave it to the last minute and you know, you should really be planning. If you have a book that's traditionally coming out with a publisher, they'll give you a publication date months in advance, hopefully, and you should really start working on a plan at that point. The second thing to do is to really think long-term. A lot of time in publishing, book publishing, the marketing campaigns are short. You know, they may be 4 weeks, they may be 6 weeks, but they're short.
Yeah, that is short.
But for an author, it's really important to think of it long-term. It's your book, it's your baby, no reason to stop marketing it and publicizing it in 6 weeks. That's ridiculous. So those are two things you should do if you have a book that is published by a traditional publisher. A third point I would say for a traditional publisher is don't give up on your book. You know, just because it came out last year doesn't mean it doesn't need to be promoted. Think of ways that you can still promote your book and don't give up on it. That would be my advice to people who have traditional publishers. For self-publishers, I think it's really important to make sure that you hire people with really great reputation because you want the book to be as professionally done as possible. People do judge a book by its cover.
Right.
So you do want to make sure that the cover is, you know, very well done. You want to make sure that the book has been edited professionally, has been proofread, has been fact-checked. Just hire the most professional people you can because you know, having an amateur book is just not worth it. It's really, nobody's going to buy it, and it's just not going to be worth the effort. So take the time to really surround yourself with really smart and good and professional people.
Well, all of this is excellent advice, and I think all of us who are thinking about writing are now feeling like we've got a full agenda ahead of us. Thank you so much for your time, and I will also have a link to Fawzia's website on my website, which is artofpotential.com. So, and you can also access the show by Chapel Borough and my website via that too. So thank you for listening to the Art of Potential show, and please take a moment to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.